Pod, Scott and Todd. Scott Speaks coming at you on a Thursday evening, April 9th, 2026. Live from Studio SLC. recording pretty late. Todd is in the NYC. He's Big Applin' this week. The younger daughter is on spring break, and the elder daughter, I think last week, went somewhere else with Anne. And so this week he's taking the younger daughter to New York City. They're seeing a Broadway show. They're going to the M&M store. They're going to the Lego store. They're having pizza. They're doing everything that locals do in New York every day. Obviously, I'm kidding. No, they're doing the tourist thing. So more power to them, you know what I'm saying? More power to them. I'm practicing a new method of recording today that I did years ago. I'm talking 12 years ago. Maybe it was less. Maybe it was like 8 or 10 years ago. Whatever. A long time ago, I tried this, and it yielded very good results. So I'm trying it again just for the fun of it. And it's where if you could see me now. Let me back up a half step. I've been noticing that when I record here in Salt Lake, sometimes, not all the time, sometimes my audio is pretty loud. It's always louder than Todd's audio. And so I end up having to do an amplification shift, is what it's called, typically to Todd's audio up, but sometimes also to my audio down, just so that it matches a bit and it doesn't sound like I'm yelling at him and he's quietly whispering into the microphone. I've told him to try to fix it on his end. He's too fucking lazy, so he doesn't do it. But the point is that I am doing a buffering method that, again, I would only do here in this hotel. In the home studio, Studio A, I have sound dampening panels in my office. There's only a few up. I have more. I should go ahead and put them up. I don't know why I haven't. They're just kind of sitting there. But it's literally foam that is kind of beveled. And you just, I mean, if you've ever seen the inside of a real studio, you've seen something similar. You just put it up. It just catches the noise and deadens it so that the sound quality is clean and clear and high. It's a high sound quality. When you are in a hotel room, I have found, and I'm doing it right now, that the best way to emulate that, rather than just speaking into a microphone, it's not the highest quality, decent quality, but not the highest, in an open hotel room, is to take a towel or a bed sheet and put it over your head and speak into the microphone. Now, that does two things. One, it makes it a very warm environment to be just speaking into a mic, which is not great, but sacrifices must be made. And the other thing that you get is much higher sound quality. So I'm very optimistic that this sound quality is going to be amazing, and you guys listening will benefit from that. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. But anyway, so it's obviously a Scott Speaks tonight, riding solo because Todd, surprise, surprise, bailed again. I mean, he was back for 1 week after his work trip, so he needs a break again. For the record, we even talked about this last week. I said, look, I know you're going to New York City on Wednesday. Let's record early. We can record Monday night. We can record Tuesday night. We normally record Wednesdays or Thursdays, but there's nothing that says we can't record on a Monday or Tuesday. I reached out Monday. I was like, what do you think? Tonight or tomorrow? He said tomorrow. Reached out Tuesday night. He was like, why don't you just do it on your own? Okay. Fair enough. Thankfully, one of us is dedicated. So here I am. Honestly... Full transparency, it's what we do here on the BroPod Network. I just flipped on the mic, opened up the laptop, and started talking. I got the towel set up and everything well before I had a single clue what I was going to talk about. And as I'm saying these words, I'm still not 100% sure what the topic du jour will be tonight, but I've got a couple ideas, so I'll probably just roll with it. So again, it's April 9th. Yesterday, April 8th, would have been my mother's 80th birthday. Most of those of you listening to the podcast tonight knew my mom to some degree. Most of you listening to the podcast probably knew that she passed away 20 years ago and change, in 2006, March 14th, 2006. It is crazy to me that it was 20 years ago. It was a little saddening last night to realize, oh shit, she would have been 80 today. 80. My dad turns 80 next month. So yeah, it's one of these situations where once I kind of thought about that and realized that, I was taking a shower last night and I was like, man, I think about where my life was 20 years ago compared to where it is today and what's happened in those years. And it's just, it makes you reflect. And I understand that people to all sorts of varying degrees take the time to reflect on their lives from time to time. They think about the ups, the downs, the trials, the tribulations, what have you. But having both what would have been a watershed birthday that, of course, never came to be, and realizing it was just over 20 years that she's been gone was just kind of wacky. I mean, again, thinking through the things that are just part of my life that she never experienced. Obviously, you have, you know, thinking about just me personally, my wife. She never met my wife. I didn't know my wife when my mom passed away. Obviously, my child. She never had the opportunity to meet my child. I was early in my career, but, you know, and I was on a decent trajectory, I guess, at that point in time. But, you know, certainly far from a guarantee that I'd be where I am from a career perspective. You know, obviously, in terms of inner circle family, never met either of my nieces. In fact, the only person outside of the nuclear family that she knew and she thankfully was able to witness the wedding of was my brother and my sister-in-law. But they didn't have kids at that point in time. You know, and I just think about how, obviously I was living in South Carolina when that happened. And I was in South Carolina for another 8 years after she passed, and now I've been in Denver for 11 years. So just all the things that, all the life milestones and that were missed, experiences that were missed. You know, my dad, to his credit, has traveled a lot, and she's, obviously, my mother has missed all of that. Never really had the opportunity. You know, she got sick a few years before she would have officially retired. And unfortunately, before the official retirement date would have hit, she passed away. So, you know, she didn't even get to experience retirement at all. She was infirmed for a couple of years there in what should have been the twilight of her career, and then she should have stepped in gracefully into retirement, but never got to experience that. And, you know, look, I'm not going to sit here and give life lessons. You guys can put those together for yourself, but it does make you think what, you know, two things guarantee, what is it, life, liberty, and or taxes and death, whatever. But yeah, it's like no one knows when their number is going to be called. So yes, the obvious life lesson here is do everything you can to enjoy the time you have while you have it. And I'm not saying my mother did not do that. I think she certainly did. But again, you know, you hear about specifically younger generations, I want to retire early. I want to, you know, travel. Everybody talks about travel. I want to do all these things. That's great. I don't bemoan anyone wanting to do that. And look, I would say to anybody, if you don't enjoy what you're doing in your career, if you don't enjoy the partner you have in life, if you don't enjoy anything along those lines, sooner rather than later, make that adjustment. Because, you know, people talk about, oh, I can't wait till I'm 65, 70, 75, walking on the beach, just, in, you know, enjoying all this money I've saved up. Well, how do you know it's going to happen? You don't. So you got to, and again, I'm not saying spend all your money. God knows that's not my mindset. Anyone that knows me knows that's not how I think about things. But it is kind of that reminder to maximize the time you have while you have the time. But yeah, you know, it really dawned on me because I think it was 10 years ago, I put a post on Facebook saying happy 70th birthday to my mom. And then I quoted what I'm pretty sure is on her marker, where her remains are buried, which is, I believe, a beloved mother, teacher, and friend. I think that's the right order. Hit me up in the comments if you know what it says, if you've swung through the Spring Valley Presbyterian Church cemetery area and seen that at all recently. But I don't know if the order's right, but I'm almost certain those are the three terms that are used there. And yeah, man, that's accurate. That's who my mom was. You know, again, I was only in my mid-20s when she left this earth. But I saw and knew all of those things. I mean, I had people that I knew in middle school and high school that were like, oh, is your mom Mrs. Hoffman? Yeah. Oh, she taught me in third grade, fourth grade, second grade. You know, she taught a variety of grades throughout her teaching career, but kind of in the pocket for her was that elementary school age, gifted and talented. And, you know, at first I was like, oh, that's interesting. But it happened a number of times throughout my scholastic career, you know, living in the same city for almost all of my childhood certainly helped. But yeah, so that, you know, that teacher part is definitely check that box. And certainly it's kind of a crossover. But if I think about who I think my mom would have considered some of, not all of, but some of her best friends in her, you know, what ended up being her later years, they were other teachers. She was very good friends with a number of those teachers. Now, she had several other circles of friends, my parents both, but specifically my mother, very social, had a variety of friends, a variety of friend circles, which, you know, intermingled from time to time. They weren't like exclusionary groups. They would certainly cross over one another. But yeah, that core teacher group was one of the closest ones for sure. And of course we had, you know, where they had friends at church. They had friends, you know, that she had friends that from way back when constantly kept in touch with them. By the way, this is in the 80s and 90s and early aughts. This was pre-social media. This was staying in touch by making phone calls, you know, writing letters, making an effort to see each other when, you know, we'd go do some traveling and things of that sort. And it makes it all the more impressive. You know, you think about that now, I don't even do as good a job as I should with keeping up with a number of my friends. And I've got, it's sitting right next to me. I've got a machine, in the case of my phone, where I can reach out and get in touch with just about anybody that I've ever known. And I don't think I do as good a job. So it's really a testament to a desire to keep that, be it inner, mid, or outer circle of friends, and just have that social connection. And by the way, there was also, you know, to varying degrees, there were the parents of my friends or Todd's friends, who my parents, my mother, were good friends with. And it's just kind of once you're in, you're in. You'd have to really mess something up to be kicked out, you know. And not to say that never happened. I can't think of an example right now, but I'm sure there were times when they ended friendships. I seem to remember, the statute of limitations is way past on this. I seem to remember being told a story that the first neighborhood that I lived in, the house that, not the house I was born in, but when I was born, the house I was brought home to, I feel my parents, and my dad might be able to corroborate this, but I feel that my parents told me that once they were hanging out with some friends of theirs and at a social gathering, and they were like, hey, you know, basically, hey, you want to smoke some weed? And as the story goes, that offer was turned down. But I think that friendship kind of ended right there, because that just, you know, no judgment, but that just wasn't something that my parents wanted to participate in. So, again, there are ways and means to end a friendship and relationship with my parents. But again, I would say it was hard to do. But anyway, so yes, I got way off track there. So teacher, check. And by the way, one other thing that I'll say at her service, and I don't know why, there are certain memories about that service that stick with me. But one of them was, in addition to obviously a number of her close teacher friends being there and going through the receiving line, one of her close teacher friends, I don't even know how, if you could do this nowadays, I don't know how this logistically worked, but brought her entire class. So it was like 16 third graders came through. And in retrospect, I've thought of this a couple different times over the years. I'm almost 100% sure that none of them, or at least most of them, were not taught by my mother. But it was just whoever this teacher was, I don't recall who it was, I apologize. It was almost their way of saying, hey, look, we're going to take a couple hours out of this day and we're going to pay respects to this woman who I was great friends with and loved and cared about. And you're going to give your condolences to her family, almost as an homage to her. I mean, clearly Todd and I and my dad didn't know any of these third, fourth grade students, whoever they were. But that I don't know, that stood out to me. I thought that was an interesting, again, nothing wrong with that. Anyone can come through the receiving line and give us their condolences. But anyway, so yes, definitely a beloved teacher in that respect. And I already kind of touched on it, but friend, certainly. Again, my parents and my mom specifically, just, you know, didn't matter time of year, whatever the season was, whatever was going on, there was somebody calling. There was somebody checking in. Hey, can you do this thing? Do you want to go to this event? Can you help out with this? You know, whatever it was, we were game for it. Meaning, as a family, but specifically, my mother was ready, willing, and oftentimes able to help out. And look, in her last few years, when she was primarily pretty ill, that was returned. Obviously, people, you know, not that my mother ever did it looking for something in return, but, you know, people helped out whenever they could. I mean, look, when she was at her sickest, I mean, her first diagnosis, I was still in college. Pretty sure it was my senior year at Clemson. It may have been my junior year, but I think it was my senior year. You know, so Todd would have been 23, 24, something like that. He was gone out of the house. in grad school in Seattle. I was up at Clemson. So it's just her and my dad. And with my dad's line of work, he was sometimes not around for a night. And I can only imagine, again, I have no hard evidence, but I can only imagine that whenever that happened, if my mom wanted somebody to be there to help out, to bring a hot meal, that likely would have happened. Because she had such an endless Rolodex of people to reach out to help in that scenario. And, you know, look, that's not a brag. That's just reality. And it's funny because I compare it to the situation my wife and I find ourselves in now in Denver. I have a couple of friends that live in town, and former coworkers that I met through the job that took me out to Denver. But do I have them over? No. Pretty much never. And again, that's probably just difference in personality and whatever, but it's just a totally different way of living, I guess. And it's a totally different dynamic between myself and my friends. The majority of my quote-unquote friends, not quote-unquote, the majority of the friends that I stay in touch with and speak with are, you know, a few states away, typically. And so it's just different, but that is not how my parents and my mother specifically lived. They always had that circle of friends around them, or at least available to be around them at any given time. So teacher friend and mother, you know, obviously that's just kind of a given. I mean, I think Todd and I have both done pretty well. We were raised right. Sure, we made mistakes, but otherwise, or rather for the most part, I think we turned out to be pretty good dudes. Had that loving family environment, you know, always available to us. And so, yeah, that box is obviously checked as well. But yeah, it's just crazy. 20 years. You know, again, I think back to when I was 20 years younger, outside of the stuff I've already talked about, like, it seems silly, but it's a big part of my life, like how different my running was. I was so much faster, and I was running so many more miles than I am today. Now I struggle to do the most simple things. I roll out of bed and everything hurts, and that just wasn't the case when I was in my mid-20s. So, you know, and life's different. Life is very, very different, but, you know, as the cliche goes, the clock keeps ticking. You move on. You can't stop time. Time is undefeated, and it keeps marching on. But yeah, obviously, I wish that my mom had been around to see her 80th and 70th and 60th. She unfortunately passed away just a matter of a couple weeks before what would have been her 60th birthday. And, you know, that sucked, that's for sure. So, and look, I won't go into details of those few days. You know, that whole week was a piece of work. I may have even told that story, actually, as I'm thinking about it. I may have told that story of how the morning that she basically essentially left us from a medical perspective, I had actually flown to Houston for work, and I had to hop on a plane and get right back. And then the next, you know, 4 or 5 days were just horrendous. But if I already told that, great. I don't know when I would have told that. If I didn't, then I didn't. But I'm not going to. But yeah, that's 20 years ago. It's wild. So if you're of similar age to me, and even if you're not, you know, assuming you have parents who are trying their best, assuming you have your parents in your life, you know, let them know. Let them know that you care about them. Let them know the positive impact they've had on your life. Again, assuming that's a true statement. And, you know, give them credit and give them props for what they presumably have done for you to mold you and shape you into the person that you are. I mean, I think about friends I've had in the past who I may or may not still even talk to, but who had a parent die. I have several that come to mind right now. I'm not going to say their names, but at a relatively young age for my friends. And, you know, it's rough. And again, whether that parent was someone who offered guidance, who was, the one who cared for you, the shoulder to cry on, whatever you want to say, as long as that parent had an influence, a positive influence on you, if, you know, once they're gone, they're gone. You have the memories, you have the pictures, far fewer today, or far fewer back then than you would today, of course, because virtually nothing was, well, I wouldn't say nothing was digital at that point in time, but the majority of the pictures of my mother and or myself with my mother are, you know, printed at the local pharmacy or Kodak, whatever, but, you know, Walmart maybe, but yeah, it's, you know, that's what you have are the memories and the photographic evidence of experiences and things like that. So, yeah, I told you I didn't know where I was going with this, but that's it. Just letting you guys know that, I'm old and my mom died 20 years ago. So there you have it. you get nothing from this podcast if not blunt honesty. So there you go. But yeah, I guess that's it. If anybody happens to listen to this and has any thoughts or memories of my mother and has made it this far, more than welcome, if not encouraged, to throw a comment below. I know people would love to hear that, read that, and see that, again, as a way of keeping the memory alive. So, yeah. How's that for an uplifting episode? Whatevs. What are you going to do? Anyway, that's it. I thank you guys all for listening to this today. Again, hopefully the audio is an A++, but I'll see that when I do the edit. So, I guess that's it. Hit us up. TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com, TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com, Instagram and X, The_bro_pod. And of course, the website is BroPodNetwork.com, just BroPodNetwork, no the in front. So BroPodNetwork.com is where you can find all the old episodes. You can also find us on Spotify or wherever you listen to fine, fine podcasts. So with that, I will bid you adieu. Thanks as always for listening. And until next week, everybody.